Yo, what's poppin'? It's Kendrick Lamar. Right now, you're listening to the best of the Breakfast Club.
That's right, it's the Breakfast Club. Good morning. We have a special guest in the building. Young Greatness is the name.
Now, let's be clear.
What's happening?
Past 48 hours, I didn't know how special you was. Right. They was like, we got a Young Greatness. I said, I don't know who that is. We need to cancel that interview.
Right. Trying to cancel me like three times.
I had no idea who a Young Greatness was.
I said, he has a big song.
I heard
right
the record.
Now.
I'm like, yeah, I heard that record before, but.
I played it for you.
But you been knew who I was. You just didn't know me.
Yeah, exactly. But then this rich African came in the room.
Yeah.
And I said, he ain't with you for no reason. Right. Young Greatness, you a special guest now.
It's all good. It's all good.
He has the record Moolah. And how did you hook up with Akon? We see Akon sitting here. How did you with Akon?
Akon don't just be showing up to radio interviews with nobody.
Well, last time we said Akon. Let's Akon and pound. T-Pain.
Lady Gaga. Who Vincent Hubert says he discovered.
Right. We'll ask him about that. In a minute, but
yeah.
Talk about
Akon. Well, you know, once I first, you know, signed with Quiet and Control with QC, same label that had Amigos.
Who's my guy's QC?
You know, I'm real good friends with Akon brother Omar. So, after he came and he heard like about 10 songs, he was like, I'm calling my brother. This is crazy. Mm-hmm. He came and he wanted to hear 30 songs. Mm-hmm. And each song, he was like, that's a hit. And, you know, from one thing led to another, and now we here. You know what I'm saying?
Why you choose to stand by this one so close, Akon?
I just believe that he's going to be the future. When I come in, I always like to find acts that I feel going to be around for a minute. You know what I mean? That can help the legacy of moving it forward. You know, it's no different when I saw Payne. I knew he was going to be something that would change the game in some form or fashion. You know what I mean? With Jeezy, same old thing. With Thug, same old thing. You know, like from an urban standpoint, it's every 5 years you're going to find that artist that's going to be around for the next five.
Right.
Or that's going to define what the next five is going to become. I just feel like greatness is going to be the next 5 years once he pops.
So you discovered Jeezy and Thug?
Man, you didn't know?
No. I mean, I know, of course, we all know Soul Survivor. My man was just telling me a story about how all these prisoners was on a bus singing Soul Survivor, but I didn't know you discovered them.
Man, listen, at the end of the day, I won't take all credit for Thug, because Reese right here, which was on the ground that helped practically break that kid. You know what I mean? But ultimately, when you look around, our influence has been huge in the business. Mm-hmm. You know, we've been behind the scenes just kind of nurturing, being big brothers and mentors to a lot of these artists out today.
Now, do you sleep with a durag? Because them waves look painted on, bro. I know that had nothing to do with nothing. Yeah. But as a bald head man, I got a little envious just now.
Well, they both got
that
some waves popping out.
Damn.
No, I definitely put the durag on in the morning before I pull out, though, for sure.
Is it harder or easier for artists from New Orleans? Because, of course, y'all had Cash Money and No Limit.
It's harder.
It's harder,
I'm
going to
answer that quick.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Why is it so much harder?
Because we don't have no resources. We don't have a pipeline.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? We can't come up here and sit and talk with Angela Yee, you know what I'm saying, and Charlamagne. We don't have no resources.
Mm.
So with no resources, how you expect somebody to hear your music? You know what I'm saying? Like, you just said you don't even know me.
No, I didn't.
Right, but I've been grinding for so long.
I didn't even know that was
you. I probably been grinding just as long as you.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
But I'm from New Orleans.
And the reason why I know him is because of Reese. I saw you with her at the BET Awards.
Yeah, I remember.
And I know Reese always get up on stuff early, so I was like, okay, let me pay attention. And then I heard the song.
But see, that's the thing, too. A lot of times the songs be bigger than the artist.
Yeah. Right.
It take time for the artist to catch up with how big the song.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right. I think I was a victim of that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? With a couple of my records. And once again, you know, man, from New Orleans, you know, we just don't have that platform.
I think every artist is a victim to that until they follow up with another record and another record and another record. Because one record, they never going to know who you are unless you sigh out there dancing and acting a fool.
Yeah. They kind of, I'm sure, you know when you first came out,
nobody
your song
knew, they
was,
just knew it was African. They was like, okay, who's... They know, I'm walking down the street, they know who I was, but they was playing my record, passing me by.
Mm-hmm.
So it just you just got to be consistent and keep coming.
When you drop it again?
Yeah, I'm about to start dropping all these records this year.
Mm-hmm.
So musically, I'm back. I'm about to be back in full effect. You know, I had a lot of work to do. I had to secure my future first, man.
Yeah, you were doing a lot of philanthropy stuff. Like, we saw the meme, all the lights you provided for people in Africa.
Tell the people about that.
So I got an energy company in Africa. What y'all actually seeing is really social entrepreneurship.
Mm-hmm.
But I marketed it like it was a foundation, because when people look at Africa, they always look at it from a standpoint of charity.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew that was a good way to get the other ear. We use it almost like a marketing tool, because even though it was a for-profit business, it was kind of structured that where it could actually feed people and employ people out there. So we use all the locals as our employees. You know, we got over 5,000 employees now, and the fastest energy company in the world, growing energy company in the world. So all we do is straight solar and renewable energy.
So do you have your, like, PR people put that out?
No, I didn't do anything. Gotcha. Actually, I do everything quiet. When it came out, I was shocked. I didn't even realize so many people even knew about it. Because, you know, when you're actually doing something out there, it's just a matter of time before people get to know what it is and kind of understand and be alerted to what you're doing. So it was one of them things that God just put it out there to where people just knew what it was and they felt like it was something important to promote.
Yeah, I didn't even understand why they compared the two. Like, they would compare Caitlyn Jenner announcing her transition to you putting the lights on. Like, this is what should be news and not this. I'm like, it's kind of two different things.
It was, completely.
Not kind.
It was totally.
Akon was turning the lights on. Caitlyn was turning her lights off. Turning the lights off on Bruce.
This guy is crazy.
All right, well, we have Akon and Young Greatness in the building, and it's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Good morning, everybody. It's DJ MV Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We have Young Greatness and Akon in the building. Now, Charlamagne?
How do you balance being on the, like, brink of breaking in the streets?
I mean, the key is letting your team formulate a plan for you to make it. That's why people like Akon, Reese, you know what I'm saying, Coach Kemp, he required the control, you know what I'm saying, because you can't do everything. Right. The best thing you could do is just stay in the studio and make good music and trust in your team to build a platform for you to make it. At first, I didn't understand that. I was just wild gunfire. Man, I'm going to do these records, put it out. Before I had a deal, I had songs with Meek Mill, Pusha T, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, go on YouTube, Juvenile. But I thought that was the correct things to do to get features and just shoot the video and put it on YouTube.
How are you getting all these features?
Man, you know, I was coming with my own bread.
Oh, you coming with them bags?
Yeah, I was coming with my own bread.
Because how was you making that money, Young Greatness?
I mean, you know, that's a different story.
Don't
indict
yourself.
You know, that's a different story, but, you know.
You did get locked up, though, for a period of time.
Yeah, you know, I did some time. That was my turning point, you know, in my life, though.
You
know,
what
that
you got was locked up for?
You know what I mean?
If it's on record, it's okay.
Yeah, you know, drugs, of course.
Okay.
You know, just trying to do something to, you know, help chase my dream.
Now Akon, you was in the news lately because you said you believe Kesha should be let out of her deal.
As a record exec, I'm not keeping an artist that don't want to be here. Period.
So if Lady Gaga was like, back then, no, I don't want to be here.
I'd be like, baby, it's okay.
Especially if she accused you of rape.
Especially.
But an artist like, let's say, T-Pain, right?
Mm-hmm.
T-Pain, you basically put your arm around T-Pain when everybody was making fun of him.
If T-Pain accused Akon of rape, T-Pain definitely got to go. I'm coming to get him for it. I'm like, Pain, you got to get up out of here now with that.
But if he did that after he made all those millions, you would still keep him under contract. You still get paid from him, but you just wouldn't want to be connected to him.
No, I mean, it's like a...
You would drop everything?
There's a process in business, right?
Right.
If there's money owed to me, it's not a problem. I will release you. So you can at least make the money back.
Right.
But right now, she's just being sat there and on the shelf with no resources to make the money back. Mm-hmm. So he ain't making no money, she ain't making no money. And it becomes a disgruntled situation. So she's doing whatever or saying possibly whatever to get out the situation.
Mm-hmm.
It only affects him.
Right.
You follow what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So I'm not saying that she's not telling the truth, but I'm not saying that she's not telling a lie either.
Right.
But you just never know. When you're in a position where you're desperate, anything could be said, anything could be done. So what you want to do, you want to prevent that altogether. You know what I mean? Because when an artist signs to you or says, okay, look, I'm putting my career in your hands, they're doing this because they believe in you. They feel like you are somebody that they can look up to, that could be a mentor to their future, and they trust you with their life. Because this is our life right here. Like, this is the only way we make money. Really, outside of this, I don't know where I would be. Music opened the doors for everything I'm doing today. So you never want to stagnate an artist because of the fact that y'all got a personal issue going on. Mm-hmm.
So even if Dr. Luke feels in his heart, I didn't do anything wrong, he should still...
Absolutely. I mean, honestly, it's a smarter business decision.
Right.
Because guess what? Kesha may owe a bag, and she may be in a position where she's in a position of debt. It's not a problem. I release you, go sign wherever you want to sign.
Just pay me my
money. But just know that when you sign there, a percentage of your proceeds will go towards clearing your debt.
Is Gaga still signing you?
Nah.
Now, who really signed Gaga? Because Vincent, he said he signed, he discovered Gaga.
So, just to make it very clear, Gaga was with Vincent 2 years before I discovered her.
Mm-hmm.
Probably went through maybe 5 record deals before she landed at
L.A. Reid actually said he dropped her, and that was a huge mistake in his memoirs.
L.A. had her as well. So, her life at Interscope probably wasn't going, I kind of saw it and knew what that was. So, I sat with Jimmy Iovine, I said, yo, Jimmy, I found the artist that I want to sign to my label, and I want to take to the next level. He said, who? I said, Gaga. So he was like, all right, cool. Let me talk to Vince and see if that's something to be worked out. I sat with Vince. Vince was like, I'm cool. Troy at the time was managing her. You know, I fought to keep both of them in line at the end of the day because it was a position where I had the power to just take her if I wanted to. Mm. But I wouldn't have did that because, first of all, Vince had already, you know, invested so much time into this girl. And Troy, to me, was an amazing manager. He just needed a shot with the right artist. Right. And we were all black young kids trying to make it. In my mind, I'm like, yo, we can all come and get it. I got the platform that everybody gonna run with. I got the brand internationally. I got the producers. I got the writers. We could provide her the music. Why not? Right. Once I signed her, a year later, it was all she wrote.
Did you and Vince argue about that?
Never.
Never?
How did she get off your label then?
Well, what happened was, I always looked at this like a business. Mm-hmm. You're going to run something all the way to the end. And everybody know that when you got it and when it's at the top, when it's worth something, that's when you pull out. So when she was at that peak, and I knew, well, I felt like musically she couldn't get no bigger, the opportunity came where I can sell some shares and get a big check or hold on and just kind of let it ride for a long period of time. But I just feel like every 10 years is going to be a new Gaga. Mm-hmm.
You was right on that, though, because musically she ain't really been popping, but she popping on that
on the film
tip.
Side.
Yeah, yeah, yeah,
so
yeah,
and
yeah.
Then me knowing her, she's not the kind of person to stay in one thing too long anyway because she's too talented. Mm-hmm. And I know she wanted to express all them other talents. So music had paved the way at that point for her to do other things. And I kind of saw that happening because even her system was changing. Certain people were moving around her, getting fired, getting rehired. And I saw the destabilization in that area. And I said, okay, you know what?
Time to pull out.
This is the point where she's making her own decisions.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I ain't making decisions for her. Troy ain't making decisions for her. And Vince ain't definitely making decisions mm-hmm. for her. So now is a good time to make that move. Mm-hmm. So I, you know, grab the bag. And let it move.
It's crazy, too, though, because you one of the artists that never got flack for crossing over. You know, as soon as a black artist crossed over, like, oh, he sold out, he popped down. You never got that.
I was thankful to that, you know what I mean? But because I would go from Sweet Escape with Gwen Stefani to Still Will Kill with 50 Cent. To do hip-hop all day, every day, it's just too much pressure. Because black people are just hard to satisfy. So it's like,
yes,
it's
we
so
are.
Much. You know what I mean? Like, you could be the hottest that year. And all it takes is one record to people that forgot about you mm-hmm. and moved on to whoever the hot new. Every year is a new hot nigga.
Absolutely.
Every year. Like, it's not, it doesn't fail.
Absolutely.
But it's just so much work just satisfying our people, man. It's a lot.
Well, it's The Breakfast Club. It's Young Greatness, Akon. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club.
Oh, I can't wait to hear this.
We have Chris Rock's daughter in the building, Breezy. Well, on the show, you was Chris Rock's daughter.
On right.
I'm going to be honest with you. I had no idea who Breezy was. I know Freda Gats.
Right.
I know Fantasia Loaf.
Shut up.
I'm like, who is Breezy?
Right.
And they was like, the rapper. I'm like, oh, okay.
That's
yeah, like
her.
I said, she played Chris Rock's daughter on Empire.
Yeah.
Chris Rock died, and you got a rap career.
Right.
That's Chris Rock got killed.
Murdered.
Mm-hmm. Do you feel like they fashioned you after Dej Love? Because a lot of people were making those comparisons when it first came on the show.
No, absolutely not. No, because I had some input on it.
You had to laugh at that name, though. Fantasia
I did. Love. I mean, yeah, I did. But I mean, I just, you know, I appreciate everything.
Absolutely.
If they ain't talking, what we doing?
There you go.
That's how I felt. So it didn't bother me at all.
Absolutely.
It bothered a lot of people around me, but I was like.
For real?
Yeah.
They got to understand that comes with the territory, though.
They don't. They don't.
When you on TV and stuff, you in the public eye,
right.
They gonna say something.
Yeah.
It's not like they gonna ever
but
say.
But they got to.
They got to. It's
they
not like they gonna
say
ever
something.
Say, you know what? She did a great job tonight.
They gotta say something.
They'll never give that up.
I thought it was funny.
Now, you're a real rapper.
Real rapper.
From Philly.
Yes.
Now, how'd you get on Empire?
I got a phone call about it. Somebody was like, yo, I think you should do this, blah, blah, blah. So I went in and did an audition for Leah Daniels.
Mm-hmm. Lee Daniels.
Leah.
Oh, Leah.
His sister.
Oh, got you.
She does all this.
No, I thought she was
cute. How you gonna correct her? Like, she don't know.
I can understand why you would say that.
No.
You play too much.
I'm like, I can understand why you would say Leah.
Nah.
But.
No. Stop. Leah does all of Lee Daniels casting.
Uh-huh.
So just audition for her, and she loved it. Here we are.
Absolutely. Now, did you ever think playing Freda Gats would confuse people about your own career?
Honestly, I didn't.
Mm-hmm.
Now I see that it has. But, I mean, that whole acting world, because a lot of people get it misconstrued. Like, that's not reality television.
Mm-hmm. They think you are from Brooklyn.
Yeah, right. People come up to me like, I'm sorry about your dad. And I'm like, what you talking
Rock
about?
Not my dad.
But, you know, in this time, everything we do is reality TV.
Yeah.
So it's like people are a little confused. I'm just like, you know, that is a character, but... You do have to create that separation.
So you ready for Jennifer Lopez? That's true.
Yeah,
we wow, just what's on?
Yeah, it was just girls. It was called Girls, produced by DJ Mustard.
Wow.
Collaborative.
And for Dr. Dre.
Yeah.
What you write for
worked
Dre?
Worked with a girl named Asia Bryant on the Straight Outta Compton soundtrack, along with a Games album documentary, too.
Asia from Charleston, 843.
Right. I was working with Cookie and Terrence.
Amazing.
Cookie and Terrence.
That's
why
right.
Isn't
Pat
that
them
Cookie
finger
and
waves, girl.
Or Taraji and Terrence?
No, amazing. They're really cool people. They really cool people. I mean, Terrence is amazing. Taraji cool. Everybody's just, they really what you see on TV. It's, you know, they cool.
They really
everybody's
cool.
Terrence, how, you know Terrence uses wet wipes. Like to wipe his ass.
You don't know what that man do in the bathroom.
You should use wet wipes, FYI.
But me and him are the closest.
Yeah.
Out of all the cast, yeah, me and him are really close. Because I spent a lot of time with him. My first day on set was with him. You know, and every day after that was with him.
He's a cool brother, man. He came up here one time and did an interview with gloves on, right?
I remember I interviewed him once. That's when he was putting his album out. Mm-hmm. And he had the guitar and everything.
Yeah, he's a real musician. He's a good one, too.
Yeah, he really, really.
He just always so intense for no reason.
I think you got to know him. You have to know him to really comment and give your opinion on who he is. Because a lot of people don't get who he is. Because he ain't going to give it to you.
Yeah.
He's going to give you exactly what you said. He's going to give you
He was cold, so nice
that
he came up here. He was giving
But he's going to give you that. He said, leave me alone. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Leave me alone. And he just doesn't care to get into people. You know what I'm saying? And I think a person like him, he's been in this industry a long time. He done seen it all, done it all. Y'all ain't got nothing for that man.
All right, we have more with Breezy when we come back. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Now, we have a special guest in the building. She's from Empire. She actually played Chris Rock's daughter on Empire. Breezy.
Are you self-proclaimed unapologetically butch?
What?
That's you read, look, you reading the script. and as you, if you pay attention,
that's her character.
That's not what the character turned out to be.
Gosh.
Does she look butch to you?
No.
What butch you know in a crop top with a swoop,
that's
lashes on? Yeah, it's stupid.
Like, see how he said
see?
It?
But you see how easily we can get
things
confused?
Are you self-proclaimed, unapologetically butch? You know he didn't make that up himself.
That's Lee Daniels' character description.
And that was the thing. I wanted the character to be realistic. Like, let's not. Do I look
is
butch
this in
to
note
you?
Somewhere?
Nah, you don't look butch. I don't know what butch
you
look like.
Me?
I had to look. I had to look, but you got on leggings and some Timbs and finger waves.
I have on leggings.
What are those? Oh, those are jeans.
These are denim jeans.
I don't know what butch look like.
You? That's what it look like.
Like butch, you wouldn't be able to tell.
Your
eyebrows a little bit.
Really?
Yeah, a little bit.
Is it my build? No, the butches be big at the top.
I think it's his hips.
Butches be big at the top. Is it my build?
Charlamagne has big hips.
True.
Yeah, there you go.
Am I a little butchy?
You do.
You look butchy.
Stop.
A little butchy.
Damn, man.
You spit, man. Please.
Man.
Whoa.
You need to apologize.
Her a man?
That's not
you
nice.
You let him talk to you like
what
that?
What's wrong with y'all?
At least I was asking questions from a journalistic standpoint. He just going to call no, you, I, say I that said, to you?
Can we hear you spit, please?
Tell him you don't you play can. No games.
I don't play no games.
Oh, yeah, man. Let's go. Butches unite against you. What's up? Now, what's up?
What?
What?
You
know what I'm saying? We out here.
We out here. What's up, cuz?
Oh, my God.
You guys take are ignorant.
I'm not a butch.
You're not a butch.
I'm
not
a butch. Say it, Evie. She's not a butch.
A lot of guys would like to hear that, though.
Hear what?
That you like peeing.
What do that got to do with being a butch?
She ain't say that she not. She ain't like, she just said she not a butch.
All right, I'm confused on what a butch is, then. I thought butches were lesbians.
No, it's a manly type of lesbian.
Yeah,
as opposed
okay,
to a lipstick,
be a female
as opposed to a lipstick lesbian, like a femme.
She could be a female lesbian. What the?
Is you finished or you done?
Now? Is you? All right. Did you start or are you about to begin?
Work,
I can't.
All right, well, Breezy, thank you so much for coming through.
No, Breezy
really
got a spit. Please.
Please, could you
why
please
you
rap?
Just
please.
Rap
us, I could tell you I'm the realest, and I don't know about you, but I don't spit it if it really ain't the realest. And really, I could kill him on some silly shit, or I could go bananas, get the fuck on that gorilla shit. Really, it's about time. Yeah, I know it take time, but see, I've been on my grind trying to do for me and mine, so I never had the time for niggas. That's wasting time. I got bitches from Sierra Leone trying to slide. Say she been on Breeze, and I do it like a monster. She want to put her lips on my diamond blocker. These niggas see me want to talk about a sponsor. I'm Breeze Montana. I do the steak with the lobster. Now, what the fuck could you do for a mobster? Me a more, poor for four, no room in me casa. All we told you niggas, I'm a problem. Oh, wait, Now, I guess I gotta let the heat off and tell these to give me the ball. I'm a big dog, little bitch with a big heart. I've been a go-getter, not a joke with a butterfly, float with a can't nobody f*** with a nigga. Ooh.
Okay.
Now, look, a couple of those bars you talked about girls on your box now, just for the record.
It is what it is.
Gotcha. Right.
What you want me to do, Charlamagne? Damn. What you want me to do?
My
I'm
name
sorry.
Is Charlamagne. I'm Charlena Maine. From
Charlena Maine.
Okay. All right.
There you have it. It's Breezy. It's the Breakfast Club. I hope you come back. You gonna come back?
Whatever you want.
All right, man. It's the Breakfast Club.
No, I like it. I'm happy to be here. I'm happy to have met y'all.
It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning.
Yeah.
That was Needed Me, Rihanna. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. We got a special guest in the building.
We're the craziest nigga in Nebraska.
Adrian Broner.
What's poppin'?
You ain't been here in a few years, man.
Yeah.
We didn't think you was coming today, man.
Yeah, I've been missing it. You canceled on us twice already.
This would have been third time.
No, I couldn't cancel this time. What's up? I know y'all got a lot of questions.
Because you've been wilding lately. How crazy are you? Are you really crazy, or do you just do that because you know that it brings attention?
Nah, this is just me. I always used to say on any given Sunday in Walmart, you know, I'm be myself, and then that video came out.
So, people were pissed off about that video.
But you got to admit, though, that was a little corny.
People
though.
Pissed off about that
you,
video.
If you a boss like you say you are, why not just pay for everybody's stuff in the line instead of throwing the money in the store?
Just because you got money don't mean you got to give it away.
You did.
That's what I felt like doing at the time. Mm-hmm. I didn't plan it out. I just was like, it. I don't want the change.
How much was it?
It was like $98.
$98
change?
Nah.
Adrian, bro, you crazy, man.
You had to think that one through, though, because you had to tell somebody to turn the camera on.
Nah, it was already a moment going on. Mm. So the camera was already just rolling.
Do you have a problem with the cashier and you threw the money like F this, or you were just a regular day in this, I don't want it?
Nah, it was just, I just felt like I didn't want it.
Damn it,
I had
man.
All hundreds on me. I ain't want it.
You don't want 90, you didn't want the singles and fives.
Change.
See, I just wonder how much of it is really trolling. Because I saw you walking on your phone saying you're going to vote for Trump. I said this nigga from the hood ain't voting for no Donald Trump.
You a damn lie.
You voting for Trump?
Yes.
Why?
Donald Trump, man. Hey, man, everything he's saying is crazy, but everything he's saying is correct, though.
So keeping Mexicans out?
Mexicans going to hate you, bro.
They already do.
Yes, they do. And they make up 90% of the box.
They already do.
Yeah.
They already do. What else about Donald Trump makes you feel like you would want to vote for him?
Man, listen, man. Hey, what I'm saying is this, man. He going to lower them taxes. That's what I'm with, for real, because taxes been kicking my ass, for real, you know what I'm saying?
That means you're making a lot of money, though.
So what, and there's, man? Lord, them shits. Hey.
I don't think you can vote anyway. Many felonies as you got. Can you vote?
hey, you know the funny thing, though? I've been in crazy trouble. My record is crazy, but everything have been acquitted.
Yeah.
So you can vote?
I can vote.
So wait, even that last incident that just happened outside the bowling alley, where the guy said you robbed him at gunpoint?
Listen. My lawyer told me don't talk about that situation.
Mm-hmm. So that hasn't been cleared yet.
Well, he ain't going to court for that yet.
I know your lawyer probably terrified, like, I told him don't talk about it, but telling AB not to talk about something, that don't happen too often.
Nah, but you know, that situation is definitely handled. It ain't going to go nowhere. It's cool. We good.
Now, Floyd Mayweather, they keep talking about that fight could possibly happen. Would you love to do that fight?
At the end of the day, you know, I used to say I'd never fight him. I've been getting signs to where it's like, this nigga don't care for real. It's just certain shit you do when you really have genuine love, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So that's why I lashed out the way I did after that fight. After that last interview he did, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying? He called the reporter for the interview and told him to put it out.
Let's talk about that interview. Floyd said, he said 6 months ago you was an alcoholic.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
No truth to that?
What's truth to that? I'm a young nigga. I'm in a club. Like to have a drink here and there.
He said alcoholic, though.
Man, Floyd don't hang with me every day.
Yeah.
And when I hung around him, I didn't drink. That's how much I looked up to him. Mm. You know what I'm saying? Like I told him before, if you want me to do better than you one day or better myself, show me the way.
Where'd it go sour? Where'd y'all relationship go sour?
I don't know, man. He was like,
y'all
he
close,
was
tight.
We still is. It's still respect there.
But even that's not after, your big brother anymore.
Even after the fight, he came up to congratulations, great performance, all that. But we still haven't got this wrinkle out.
You think you could beat him in a fight?
I beat his ass, bro. I'm a man. Can't nobody beat me. Point blank, period.
You got two losses, though.
Yeah, I beat myself. No. Mm. Everybody know that. Nobody can't beat me. A focus Adrian Broner, can't nobody beat me.
See, I like that you said that, because that's the problem. People don't think you're focused.
Right.
They look at all the other antics outside of boxing, and they want you to
look at my last fight.
You scared us, because a week before.
That's what I'm saying. Look at my last fight.
Yes, right.
All of this going on. Mm. We going to a big arena, right? that sold out, that Floyd Mayweather say, it only sold out because he was co-promoting with me. All I'm saying is, Floyd, put some respect on my name.
When I hear you talk about Floyd, I feel like I hear hurt.
I am. You don't understand what it feel like. Somebody I seen for the first time on TV at 12, that's what helped me to get to this point. And then when we finally meet, we click, and it's a real bond, like a real big brother. And then every time you do an interview, you talk bad about me. His daddy, his trainers, all his fighters, they talk crazy about me. Like, come on, man. Don't nobody in my camp say nothing bad about Floyd. I'm a real boss. Like, I don't care how you feel. You ain't about to talk bad about my nigga.
Pull you to the side and tell you these things behind the scenes?
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. I had big homies.
All right.
Like when I do something, I get a call like, hey.
You
that,
wildin'.
You wildin'. Yeah. Like Jay Prince. Hey, you tripping. You got to go make that right. You know what I'm saying? Hey, you right. Okay. Mm-hmm.
But don't you think it hurts Floyd, too, that you said some negative things about him publicly as well? And he probably feels like, man, he did kind of feel like he was co-signing you in the beginning and...
What did he have to co-sign? I was already there. I already made it. He ain't have to co-sign nothing. When he met me, I was already world champion. Three-way classes.
All right, we got more with Adrian Broner when we come back. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
That was Drake with Controller. Morning, everybody. It's DJ MV Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Adrian Broner's in the building. Now, if you do fight Floyd, do you think it'd be too emotional for you?
Am I? Hell nah.
Floyd, you're in your feelings when it comes to Floyd. Like, you could tell, like, he's a brother that hurts your heart. You know what I mean?
It is, but at the end of the day, though, brothers fight. I done fought my brothers plenty of times. My twin brother and everything. We get down. But at the end of the day, it is what it is, man. I don't care if we spar, talk it out, wrestle, whatever. We can play dominoes. Something gotta...
Now, you said some physical activity. Yeah. Some furniture.
Let's do it.
Now, I saw an interview Bob Arum did, and Bob Arum, he doesn't seem to like you.
Bob Arum loved me. I went to Bob Arum's house before. Don't nobody know this. I went past his house before all of this, and he was trying to sign me.
So why he talk like that?
He threw shots at me like, I give you this. I ain't going to say the numbers. I give you this. I have you fighting in China. And
so why when you did the interview, you're like, I don't want to discuss Adrian Broner. I don't like that.
Bob Arum. Who is Bob Arum, man? That old motherfucker better go put on some Bengay and drink some coffee.
Adrian Broner turned into a different person in 2 seconds. You didn't say he was at his house.
Oh, shit. For real, man. He don't do nothing for me. That's another person I don't need.
Can't nobody take away from your talent, but it's just all the out of the ring antics. Because, I mean, it's one thing when you just getting in some trouble, when you got DUIs, probation violation, charged with assault and kidnapping and all kind of stuff. It's like, what are you doing, AB?
Man, listen, man. Right now for me, it's just time to grow, mature, and make better decisions and try to better myself for the people around me.
Does it come to a point where you have to leave the street life alone?
I been did that. It's just I always find myself...
Back in it.
Going back in.
You know what I'm saying? You can go away from the street. You can't take the street out of... It's some things I got to change.
Moving out of Cincinnati?
That's what I'm doing now. That's what I got to do. I've outgrown my city. I didn't understand it until now. You know, I really... outgrown my city, and I love my city. I love Cincinnati to death. Mm-hmm. You know, I walk around with no security. All my jewelry on. You know what I'm saying? I love my city, and the city love me, but some hate me, but you know what? It's time to move on and take this thing to another level.
Because, I mean, that don't mean you're not keeping it real. I mean, keeping it real comes to a certain point where, like you said, you got to take care of your family. You got to take care of your team. Like you got to do things to keep yourself in position to keep everybody else great.
We make some big changes, man.
Mm. You think the police have it out for you in Cincinnati? You think you a target?
Now, the police actually love me, though. Mm-hmm. It's been some crazy nights where I've talked to them crazy.
And they let you slide.
And they just let it slide. Champ, one time they had me at gunpoint, like, Bronner, don't make me do it. Just go in, champ.
What the hell they had you at gunpoint for? That ain't normal.
It was just one of them wild nights, man.
One of those wild nights.
What, you was challenging them or something?
Yeah, I was like, y'all... 30,000-40,000 a year ass making ass.
Oh, bro, don't make me know it.
Because one night you got pulled over, that was the DUI. I think they had that on tape, and you said, I'm not drunk,
listen,
but I'm rich and famous.
Listen,
like, you know who I am.
Listen, I hope I don't get nobody in trouble. They took me to the station, took some pictures, and let me go.
So you ain't even get charged?
I probably got charged, but they just like, let me go.
Do you ever look at some of the things you're doing and be like, yeah, that was lame?
Nah.
Never, even when you regret it? You got to look at some of the stuff you're
doing. I don't regret nothing.
Nothing?
Nothing.
The DUIs?
I don't regret nothing.
Nothing.
What about the sex tape?
I don't regret it. If I could, I'd do it twice.
What about your family? Because obviously now you have all this money. They see you with all this jewelry. Is it difficult? Like, people are like, yo, I need...
My day-to-day manager right there, 6'4", he say I'm too nice. Mm-hmm. He say I'm too nice, I'm too accessible, and it's time to make some changes. And I think I'm going to listen to him and just cut a lot of people off.
Really? And not your family, though?
Nah, hell no, okay. Not my family. But the more bigger I get and the more famous and the more wealthy I get, the bigger favors I get asked. Mm-hmm. Like, at first, he should be like, bruh.
I'm getting $100.
I'm hurt, man. I need $100.
Mm-hmm. Now, $100,000.
Now it's like, bruh. Let me tell you about my car. Mm-hmm. I just need $85,000 and everything gonna be straight. Then when I say no, they be like, damn, $85,000, that ain't nothing. That's to you, though. Like,
could you just do $98 at Walmart?
Yeah,
well,
so what?
$98.
You know what I'm saying? But anybody who really met me and really know me, you know, I'm a good person, man. I give away my last if I got to.
Man, we saw you dancing outside the jailhouse a week and a half ago.
Yeah, they let me out.
You should be dancing, right?
They let me out. I was happy.
But when you say changes, what do you mean by changes?
I am getting older, man. You know, I think it's time to stop all the wild stuff, man. Mm-hmm. Just focus on boxing.
Now, what about your woman? I saw she posted that she was single and you retweeted.
Man, my baby ain't going nowhere, man. Listen, man, I apologize, baby. I'm sorry.
What'd you do? You cheated?
Nah, I ain't cheat. I ain't take it that far. But some women call texting another female cheating, so I guess I cheated.
Depends on what you text.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I was wrong, and she's upset right now, and she got a right to be, but, you know.
Now's a good time to cheat, though, because the whole Beyonce lemonade.
Hell
no.
Nah,
it is.
It ain't ever a good time to cheat.
If Beyonce can forgive Jay, all our women got to forgive us, if you want to be as strong as Beyonce.
Man, thinking like that, you gonna be a single miserable man.
Long time.
Listen, man. I really love that girl, and you know I know she down for me. But right now, you know, it's a rough spot right now. We'll be alright.
Does that affect you when you're boxing?
It's everything when it comes to boxing. Mm-hmm. Without boxing, I have nothing. Without boxing, I can't take care of nobody. It actually helps.
That gives you motivation.
Motivate me. Mm-hmm.
And we see you being a great dad as well.
I had a great father, so it's only right for me to do what I seen.
And I know you say you wouldn't change for nobody, but you got to change for the kids. Because at the end of the day,
I know
you got to be here for them. Regardless of who else you here for, you have to be here for them.
They're the reason why I work so hard, man. You know, I got beautiful children, too. God bless me with beautiful children. And they're very intelligent. And, you know, they look up to me. I really just got to set a great example for them.
Listen, man, I want to believe everything that you're saying. But, you know, you went from loving Bob Arum one minute and then saying, f*** him the next. I seen you do that with Floyd. You tell Floyd, f*** him, but then you put up a picture up on Instagram and say, that's my brother for life.
It is.
Like, you got real ebbs and flows.
No.
Hot and cold.
No, it ain't hot and cold. It is what it is. Like I'm a good-hearted dude. Like, I don't care. Like, if you got a relationship with somebody and if that's my brother and I love him, then I'm going to always love him. Mm. But once you cross me, I don't want to see nothing bad happen to him or I won't let nothing bad happen to them if I can stop it. But
you just feel like you don't need them, basically.
Exactly.
How do you come back from fuck them? Or do you?
It might not be a year. It might not be now or even a year from now. We might call it quits and hook back up. But right now, he doing him, I'm doing me.
All right. Well, that's the Breakfast Club. It's Adrian Broder. That was Jeremiah. Morning, everybody. It's DJ MV Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. We got a special guest in the building.
Ladies, hold on to your panties.
Oh, man. Maxwell.
Maxwell is here.
What's up, sir?
I'm trying, man. What's going on?
Now, I'm glad you're here because I saw... You do Snapchat, Maxwell?
Maxwell Snapchatted that.
Go ahead, post it. You can't say it because you're going to be thinking about it the whole interview.
I just messed up my snap. That was a really good snap.
And you just erased it?
Yo, we out here. Maxwell.
Maxwell.
I'm trying. I'm doing
Breakfast
my best.
Club.
Okay, I know cool. Your DMs be popping.
Actually, yes, they do.
Yes, they do.
Yes, they definitely pop. Yeah, you know, Snapchat me that. You know. It's an interesting world, though, because I'm 42, so it's like I can't imagine what it would be like to be a 14-year-old with all of the social media the way it's going down.
Why haven't you connected with the people in so long, man? 7 years?
7 years, right? That's a long time.
Did you even realize that?
I don't. I got to tell you, I get anxiety about just trying to meet the challenge of what I did before And at the same time, I don't want to play myself and try to look like I'm trying to be in the moment with all the kids.
Doing a record with Future?
Well, no. And don't get into it. I know and love all of those records. Like, I listen to everything. I mean, I listen to some really dark, raunchy, trap, like all of that. But
what are you feeling right now?
Definitely, you know, Yo Gotti, definitely Travis Scott. I mean, you know, I be in the club, so I know what these songs are, and I can sing with them. But I always have to be really concerned about the brand and, like, what I've done, you know, starting in 96. And the fact that, like, my music is what you go home to after you've been where you've been. And hopefully it's with your family. Hopefully it's what you do on Sunday mornings when you're cooking. Mm-hmm. You get married to it. You having kids to it. Those types of things. So I've had to think about those issues as I see the ever-changing situation out there in the music world.
Now, you talked about the pressure. Now, is it a lot of pressure? Because you've always been, I say, left. Like, you never went with trends. I mean, from your first album to your videos. Yeah. Is there pressure staying different and staying in that lane and staying and being as big as those other songs and other albums?
Yeah, for sure, no doubt. I'm not gonna lie to you about that. But that's part of the fun, you know. The part of the challenge of putting something together is saying to yourself, "Well, how can I maintain relevancy, but still be?" This is always the greatest thing that I want is timelessness, mm-hmm. because so many people come and go. There are certain rules to the game about how you do that, and I think that if you stay true to the basics, you know, of what we're trying to exemplify, which is I'm not too detail oriented about shoes and cars, mm-hmm. and I mean I'm just kind of a you know we you I just talk I try to talk about the bigger things in terms of just like, you know, heartbreak, pain, mm-hmm. betrayal, wanting to get somebody back for hurting you, mm-hmm. Not feeling like you're good enough. Those basic things are what we always feel, no matter what the watch is that weekend, no matter what the sneaker is, no matter what the new car is, whatever it is. Those are the things that we are always connected by.
How did you handle the fame when it came to these women, man? Because you're fresh out, making all this great R&B music. I'm sure girls was throwing it at you 100 miles per hour.
But not only that, the types, because he didn't have... If you think about it, he'd had quote-unquote earthy women.
Earthy? Yeah. What does earthy mean, though?
Earthy is, you know...
Just clarify. Okay, does that mean big?
No. But you have big women that you chose to.
I'm good with big.
The ones that shave when they want to, wear unks.
Right, that's cool.
You have those. You have
oils.
It's so many
the Monique-type chicks.
Exactly.
And then, I feel you. Well, look, I just think everything is beautiful. And the weirdest thing for me is, like, when I look out into the audience... Because there'd be bad ones out there. Mm-hmm. But they're the one that is the shyest, the one that maybe feels like, you know, I need to, like, you know, lose a few here, lose a few there. That's usually the one I focus right on because I feel like
I was a predator. You pick on the insecure. Jesus Christ, Maxwell.
I just want to make them feel good.
Right.
You know, at the end of the day, that's my job on stage. Mm-hmm. I just want to make you feel good. And everyone's gorgeous. Everyone's sexy. But, you know, for me... I'm kind of a brain person, so it's like I think that the situations that sort of like will come to me on a personal level, because mm-hmm. I will be more mental. I'm 42, so it's like beauty. I understand beauty. Beauty's amazing, but when you wake up with someone after 10 years, you don't even remember that beauty part of it. You just know that you have a friend. You just know that, you know, you got somebody that's holding you down. Hopefully, like with my friend and manager John, you have someone who's raising your kids. Mm-hmm. That's you know, the day in and the day out of that. Like all that stuff fades, you know. So
you have kids?
No, not yet.
Oh, you said raising your kid. I thought you had some kids. I said, wow.
What
you
waiting maybe on? Maybe I do. I don't know.
What you waiting on to let some of that legendary sperm go, man?
Well, you know what? I have this new. Actually, you know, it's interesting that you should bring this up, sir.
The legendary sperm.
I have a marketing plan. Mm-hmm. Instead of the albums, it'll be sperm. So I'm just going to market the sperm.
You want to get pregnant by Maxwell, buy my new album.
Buy my new album.
Exactly.
Right there.
No, that just worked. I'm just saying it's a new plan. I might put a single with it.
Okay.
I might have a song to come out because usually the music kind of does that. So I figured let's just cut to the chase.
Cut to the chase.
Okay. And just, you know.
You're going to have men and women buying that album.
I hope so, man.
All right, keep it locked. We got more with Maxwell when we come back. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
Morning, y'all. This is J. Cole. Cole, where up? You're listening to the best of The Breakfast Club. Wake your ass up.
That was J. Cole, No Role Models. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We have Maxwell in the building now. Charlamagne?
Like, I ain't gonna front. I've been to one of your shows, and I've been to two of your shows. And my wife likes to go to your shows. Okay. I went with my wife now, okay. But I went when she was my girl and stuff. And I realized I ain't going to no more Maxwell shows. Because these shows ain't for men at all. It's just a bunch of screaming women. Look, he ain't thinking about us.
My wife goes with her friends.
Hot and bothered.
Make me feel all funny.
Yeah, okay. Go there, get excited, and bring your ass home.
What are you talking about?
I went with my wife one time, and I felt a little funny because everybody's screaming. I'm sitting in the corner like a sucker. So I'm like, you know what? You bring your girlfriend next time.
When he did Fortunate, I went to sleep. Because I was like, it's like sitting by your girl while she watching Scandal. She ain't paying you no attention. None.
It's basically like when you guys are watching the basketball game or right. football game. Yeah. So this is like their revenge on you, basically.
That is a fact.
I am the revenge of all those times. But no.
Mad pelvic thrust. I'm like, if he thrusts one more time.
Hey, man, that ticket is expensive. Yeah. I mean, I got to put work in, but I'm just, look, at the end of the day, you get to take him home.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
you get to get situations that you probably never imagined would happen. I'm just, I can't believe it's 20 years later, guys. That's all I gotta say. I'm just, and I'm so happy that I'm kicking it with you because I hear you guys in the morning. You guys are funny.
Appreciate it.
You're real people. You know, you're in situations sometimes because you gotta speak about things and whatever. But, you know, I just appreciate all the support throughout the years. And I got you on those dance records on this new album.
Okay.
How do you feel about the term Neo Soul? Because people always give you credit for being the star of that.
I can't say that because D'Angelo was released in 95. I have to admit, with great respect to him, that he, when he was set off, it really made everybody at the label really understand. Because I was already done with my album. I was just sitting on the sidelines. I was on the bench. So, you know, I give credit to D for being the person to sort of really get my record off the shelf.
Right.
And then I give a lot of credit to the radio stations that just, they played it without an understanding what this was about. Because,
right?
You know, I looked crazy. You know, I was a big old hair and everything. And, you know, having all the weird West Indian type of thing, which that's not atypical, really, for an R&B person. Usually they're from the South. Usually they're like with D'Angelo, his story is so perfect. Like, he's from Richmond, Virginia. Mm-hmm. He played in the church. You know, like, my dad's from Puerto Rico. My mom's from Haiti. Like, I'm like, first generation from Brooklyn. Mm-hmm. You know, I didn't even feel black enough, really. So for me, it was like, man, I hope my people like this music as much as I love them. And, you know, 20 years later, it's just nice to know that I was.
I always wondered why you didn't do many features. Like, there's pretty much no Maxwell features.
Yeah. You know, well, I mean, look, I'm not saying I'm better than anybody because there's a lot of people out there that I like, but a lot of my choices are kind of like family type choices. Like, Nas was signed, released 95. Mm-hmm. I was there 96.
So y'all kind of grew up together.
I was shocked that he even liked my music because, you know, he's Nas, he's Miss Hip Hop, my stuff is all smooth. And we developed a friendship and, you know, we basically worked on something once on one of his records, Street Kings. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, we just did the Barkley thing together and, you know, we have more plans to do more business stuff together because we just get on. And then Alicia Keys, who I knew at 15 at Columbia when she was signed there, she was kind of like my special guest on her first album. So I know her, I know Swizz.
I thought you were going to do a joint with Jay-Z and JD at one time, because during the Money in the Thing video, when he's sitting there, they're playing it in the background. I'm like, oh, this is here it goes.
Oh, my God, that's my next move. I mean, you know, if Jay is listening, because we're friends and I see him all the time and I know his wife and...
I've heard of his wife.
Yeah, his wife is. Yeah. His wife is cool. I'm from Brooklyn. He's from Brooklyn. You know, it'd be amazing. I think he is the Frank Sinatra of hip hop because all of his beats.
Absolutely.
He never plays himself.
Mm-hmm. Never.
I mean, literally. And the craziest thing is, when Reasonable Doubt came out, he always just chooses like the classic things, and you can listen to all those records forever, and that's rare, man. Like, people don't understand it's so much harder to make hip-hop classic because there's so many ways that you could really play yourself with like all the new trends and the new things that people do with vocoder and whatever and blah, blah, blah.
You could dress like R. Kelly. R. Kelly still dressed like he 18.
Well, you see, I can't say nothing bad about him. I mean, Fortunate, I never sing anybody's records. And Fortunate, when I heard it, wasn't actually the first song. But when I heard it, I was like, because you just got to pay respect to him because that guy can just, I mean, he could just pee out a song. You know, like,
whoa, great, oh, Maxwell. Yes, he could have said, yes, Maxwell. Yes, nobody even had to set you up for that one.
Man,
that was great.
I was gonna
out of all the bodily fluids you could have said.
Oh God,
you say pee out.
Oh God, please, Mr. Kelly, yes. Please don't.
Yes, Maxwell. Don't. Yes.
I didn't mean to do that. I was going to say something else, but I didn't want to say that because it's a curse.
The universe made you say what you needed to say.
Man.
Well, Maxwell, you are appreciated, man.
We definitely appreciate you.
You've gotten a lot of our women horny. Thank God you didn't have sex with them. We did. We appreciate you, man. We appreciate you.
Dude, man, I appreciate you too, man. The fact that you get, you know, like I hear your name in rap songs and you do your thing very well. And I think that what you guys do is also at the same time, you safeguard us a little bit by having to let us know a little bit. Like sometimes you'll hear something on the air and you're like, whoa, I better like, you know.
We'll check you a little bit.
Yeah. There is a check. But there's love. There's love, you know, and I feel grateful to be in a situation where I get to share some time with you and all your listeners because it is a funny ass.
Thank you, man.
Thank you, man.
Thank you very much.
You kill it.
Thank you. Well, there you have it. It's Maxwell. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning.
Charlamagne, say the gang, donkey of the day.
You are a donkey. It's time for Donkey of the Day.
Donkey of the Day does not discriminate.
I might not have the song of the day, but I got the Donkey of the Day.
So if you ever feel I need to be a donkey, man, hit it with the heat.
Yes, the Breakfast Club, bitches.
Who's Donkey of the Day today?
Well, Mr. Ed Sheeran, Donkey of the Day goes to New York Giants defensive end Jason Pierre-Paul. Now, JPP is a beast, ladies and gentlemen. Okay, even as a Dallas Cowboy fan, I can admit that. He had 77 tackles, 12 and a half sacks, 3 forced fumbles last season, and in 5 seasons, he has 42 career sacks. Oh, he's a problem. Round of applause to JPP. Okay, any team would be happy to have this 26-year-old Haitian sensation. Now, I'm the type of person, it brings me great joy to see people get paid. I love seeing people get their money because I don't want nobody hating on me when I get mine. But it also brings me great pain. Hurts me to my soul to see somebody F up their money, especially due to something stupid. You ever heard that saying that whenever something great is about to happen, the devil is busy? This is a prime example of that. See, Jason Pierre-Paul, JPP, was playing with fireworks. But apparently JPP doesn't know how to operate fireworks because JPP sustained injuries to his hand while setting off fireworks during a 4th of July celebration in South Florida. Not just any hand injury, but Adam Schefter got a hold of some private medical records revealing Jason Pierre-Paul had a finger amputated. And the New York Giants didn't learn of the finger amputation until they saw it on Twitter. Yes, Adam Schefter shared a photo of Jason Pierre-Paul's medical records that showed he had his right index finger amputated. FYI, that's a lawsuit. JPP can sue the hospital. Somebody released those private medical records from that hospital, and JPP can absolutely sue the hell out of that hospital. He might can sue Adam Schefter, not sure, but he can definitely sue the hospital. And he needs to make that happen because he's going to need the bread because JPP was in a contract year, ladies and gentlemen, and the New York Giants had a $60 million long-term contract offer on the table for Jason Paul Pierre. But now that contract has been taken off the table, all because Jason Paul Pierre can't read directions. The directions on fireworks clearly say, do not hold. In big, bold, black, sometimes red letters, it says, do not hold. Now, when I play with fireworks, which I was doing on last Saturday, the 4th of July, if I light them myself, keyword, if I light them myself, I used a long-ass, long-reach, refillable, click-and-flame lighter. And then when I light it, I run. Okay? I don't want no parts of those fireworks, period, after I light it. Now, JPP, I don't know what you was doing. But I'm going to assume that if you had a hand injury, you wasn't doing the right thing. No, you was breaking the cardinal rule of fireworks, which is do not hold. You don't hold on the football field without getting a flag on the play. You got to treat fireworks the same way. Now, JPP, I am sorry you lost your finger, but if you would have lost your finger after signing that long-term contract, I wouldn't have a problem with this. I'd be like, got him. Mm. You can lose a finger because of something stupid after you get your money, but when you're in the process of trying to get your money, bruh, don't give these people a reason not to pay you. Now you done lost the finger and the money for what? July 4th fireworks foolishness? What the hell are you celebrating America's independence for anyway? My brother, you are Haitian. Sac passé. I said sac passé. Not boule. Thank you. M-E-Z, you are resident Haitian. JPP, you are a Haitian, my brother. Haitian Independence Day is January 1st. You out here celebrating July 4th, America's independence with fireworks, when you should have just waited until January 1st, you know, to celebrate Haitian Independence Day with a nice bowl of jamu soup. Okay, if you was going to lose a finger on Independence Day, at least let it be for the independence of your people. Okay, the beautiful Haitian master, the New York Giants said, given the timing of the event and the apparent judgment displayed, they believe a long-term offer is not in the best interest of those involved at this point.
Damn.
I agree with them.
Oh, you're right.
What do you 40 say? Everybody got choices. And JPP, you made a poor choice. And that poor choice got us all thinking, this.
Dummy. You big dummy.
Big dumb as hell.
And I swear it's that's no thing.
Give Jason Paul Pierre the biggest hee-haw, please.
But just thinking about
shut
it,
up.
Right? Maybe God took his finger to give him more money because
more
$60 million wasn't enough.
I want you to explain that beige way of thinking. Like, I want to explain.
That sounded so crazy.
I'll
try to back envy up, but I don't know.
Explain that waffle-colored wisdom. I don't even understand what the hell you just said. I told you not to talk, but you just kept talking anyway.
You're not light-skinned.
When people tell you not to talk, like, a lot of times you should just say, you know what, I'm not going to talk.
You won't understand.
The Breakfast Club.
That was Fetty Wap. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We got a special guest with us in the building this morning.
A very, very special guest. It's a privilege and honor to have this man in the building this morning.
Mr. Dick Gregory.
Mr. Dick Gregory.
Thank you. That scares me. They said that about Jesus on Thursday and killed him on Friday.
Now, I love watching your message for black people. You do it every year. What's your message for black people in 2016?
Run.
Run? Why you say run?
I never thought I'd see the day I'd pray to God that if I'm born over again, I won't be a white man.
Really?
No, wow. I'm super black. Yeah. You know, I ran for president in 1968. Yes, you do. Mm-hmm. And had I won, the first thing I would do would dig up that rose garden and plant me a watermelon patch. Okay. I'll sit up on the balcony and eat watermelon and spit the seeds on Pennsylvania.
How do you feel about the rise of Donald Trump?
I think it's two of them. The one that, no.
Two Donald Trumps?
The one guy can't be that ugly.
What would you do if Donald Trump won and became president?
If he wins and become president?
You think that's possible?
In America, anything is possible. Mm-hmm. If you got money, then there's certain things your child don't go through.
Mm. Even as a black man? Even though
if your child got a damn earache, you don't have to wait till Bobo get paid.
Right. Gotcha.
You go today.
Gotcha. Huh?
The same thing is there, but they don't go through that whole struggle. I got 10 children, man.
Damn.
Damn.
No, I'm happy for you. I'm proud.
Happy.
I want my sperm to catch up to yours.
Oh, man, I just give me some booty. y'all be going through these changes and want to lie about it.
Now, I see John Legend is producing an off-Broadway play.
Yes.
Based on your life, Turn Me Loose.
Yes.
Did he come to you or was that your idea? Did you say, hey, I have an idea. I want to do this play based
on... No, I never have ideas.
Come on now.
I don't believe that.
I don't. My head's 10,000 miles away. I mean, when you stop and think about Al Sharpton is probably the most powerful black person in America because of the shows. 5 days on White Network.
More than Oprah?
Over Louis Farrakhan?
Oh, he got the media. Mr. Farrakhan don't have the media.
And do I need to leave here or something?
No, my brother. Come on.
Well, I'm just telling you how it works. On every day, 5 days a week,
I think that's the problem nowadays. Like, you know, you don't have a lot of OGs sharing wisdom with you.
No, it's a different rhythm. Hey, man, when I was a little boy, you had NBC, CBS, and ABC. Now my children, they're trying to turn from ABC to NBC and pass the pornography station. Mm-hmm. 4 years old, I'm going to stop. Whoa. Then you got social media with all the stuff out there.
You got Instagram?
I don't touch none of that.
Let me show you something. Right?
Yeah, okay.
Uh-oh.
Now I just want to show you this, because I feel what you're saying.
What you going to show?
Beyonce's cousin.
That's not her cousin.
That's not Beyonce's cousin, man.
No, man.
Take you that long to find
it? No, here she go.
Glad you ain't no cop reaching for your gun.
That's her in the blue right there.
Man, the booty.
Yeah, the booty.
The booty.
Yes, sir.
Well, let me just straighten out something for you. The word booty came from the pirate. That's
right,
the loot.
Booty.
The loot that they take is called the booty. Let's go get some booty. So a black man is the only one that calls his woman the booty. Because we pirates and she ain't been freed. We're the only man in the world that refer to our woman, she's a strong sister, but call our car beautiful. So you wonder why they'll shoot your mama, your daddy, your son 20 times in the head, but won't mess with your car because, you know, they mess with that car. As long as you've been here and you ain't never heard a black man say, a white racist cop took his stick and hit my car. While we had a prayer vigil for a five-year-old that got shot in the head. What's the headline?
For minorities, 1.5 million missing black men.
Now, wait a minute now. Missing don't mean they're in jail. Black body parts from black men is worth 10,000 more money than from women.
So what do they do with the body parts? They sell them to people? Like, eat them? Like, what do they do?
Man, they told me how smart you was.
I'm asking.
Can I talk to somebody else? I wouldn't even share this with you, but everybody told me, oh, he's so brilliant. You better go home tonight and check, make sure you ain't got no scars.
Have
check
them
on
you.
He got some scars
on.
No, I did. I woke up the other morning. I had two cuts on both shins.
Oh, okay.
And I said alien. I was playing and saying aliens abducted me.
No. Well, let's look at it. They told you, remember that? They told you, I guess it was 6 months ago, about that planet. They call it our cousin.
Super Earth.
How close it is here? That's where they are. Missing don't mean I'm in jail. Missing mean I'm gone.
All right, we have more with Dick Gregory. When we come back, keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. That was Rihanna with Work. Morning, everybody. It's The Breakfast Club. We have comedian and activist Dick Gregory in the building. Now, Charlamagne.
Do you think race relations in America will ever improve?
What difference would it make? That's like me and you are Jews and Nazi Germany. And you say to me, you think race relations in Germany will ever improve? Man, I call the police on you. You hear me? You see, here's how it works. 110 years ago, we had a meeting, and you say, one day horses will be obsolete. They'll take you to a mental hospital without even a trial.
Yes, sir.
And today, horses is obsolete. Some people had that vision where they can see it. It's like the word honky. You see, when I try to explain to white folks that prostitution is for the benefit of white boys, you mean black men? Don't have prostitutes. I said, go back to slavery, man. She didn't have a job out here. I'm gonna buy some booty. Are you serious? I mean, just ask yourself, I'm gonna buy some booty. I don't have to pay for it. I get it when she come home, wet, with a pocket full of your money. But where the prostitute, when I went to college, the whole house was run by a black woman, Ma Hatchett, 30 miles away from Southern Illinois University. That's what ran Richard Pryor crazy. He's in Peoria, Illinois. 90 miles from Chicago. So when Prince Charles and all the mayors come in from all over the world, they go down there so white folk can't see them. And when the brother pull up, he honked the horn. Honk, honk. That's where the word honky come from. We here. Right. But then try to figure out how do honky mean anything but that? This is a game. But it messes up the whole system. I did some research. I was looking for breast milk. So I called my man. I said, man, I need you to find the number one authority on breast milk.
But you want to drink it?
In the world. Am I talking?
I'm sorry, sir.
Are you here 5 days a week?
Yeah.
And I'm just here for a few minutes?
Yes, sir, I'm sorry.
Okay. So Steve Jaffe called me and he said, got a problem. There's two authorities. I said, well, I was going to give 1 million. So, okay, I'll give him 2 million. And he said, the other thing, both of them are men. Did you hear me? The number one and number two authority on breast milk is men. Did you ever watch your wife nurse a baby?
Yes, sir, watching it now.
While she nursing on this breast, the other breast is leaking? Do you know them thugs thought it was milk? It's poison. That universal God to the baby didn't come from her, it came through her. And all the poison she's had in her body since she was a baby, it shoots it out so that baby can't get it. I said, all you got to do is have it tested. These are authorities. Oh, my God. Look at here. Huh? That's what we're living with. Something's not right.
I saw you say once that, you know, Barack Obama was president and black people still sleep.
Well, why would they wake up? It's like Bill Cosby didn't know he was going to get in no trouble. Black folks loved him. He was Doctor Who.
Heathcliff Huxtable.
You ever heard a nigga named Huxtable? You ever heard a white boy named Huxtable?
Nope.
Ain't nobody on the planet named Huxtable. That name don't scare white folks. White children be on his shoulder eating tapioca out of his eardrums. Mommy, mommy. And then all at once, his son get killed. Yeah. And he can't do no more Jell-O commercials. Did you ever think about that? What got him in trouble? He was going to buy NBC.
So that's a fact. That ain't some internet rumor.
I don't deal in facts. That's what white folks don't mess with me. And they did the same thing to him they did to Tiger Woods. Tiger Woods got four more majors to catch up with Jack Nicklaus. Five to be the all-time champ. That's when they busted him. And then after he made a deal, they say he's going to a sex camp in Mississippi. You see that?
Yeah, I saw that.
That's where they wean you off of put.
Yeah.
But are you serious? Give me the address. Huh? Are you serious? Huh? They ain't gave up nothing.
Yeah.
You hear me?
I'm surprised they never came after you. All that speaking you be doing.
That's what I said. I'm surprised.
But y'all forget. Y'all think y'all came from this stuff, your mom and them. I know I came from the same universal force that put the moon, the sun, the water, and everything else.
Damn right.
Come get me if you can, but you got to get through. Nah, you see the, they talk about the baddest thing in the history of the planet. Huh? Bigger than mountains. The dinosaur. But they didn't tell you when the dinosaur was here, so was the butterfly. It ain't about being big and bad and nasty. It's being nice and humble. Now look at her. I see the butterfly. You ever seen a caterpillar? The pictures of Valentine's Day cards? No. Then out of that caterpillar, the cocoon, she hooks herself to a tree. And the heat comes through. And that hole came in, and out comes beautiful sister.
I see why you got 10 kids. All that smooth talking.
No. I don't talk my You hear what I'm saying? How many babies you got?
Two.
Were you talking?
Yeah, I talk too much.
He probably does.
You talk too much.
I got five.
He probably talks and texts and tweets at the same time.
Mm. All right, we got more with Dick Gregory when we come back. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. That was Jeremiah with We. Morning, everybody. It's DJ MV Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We have comedian activist Dick Gregory in the building.
What most folks don't know is Michael Jackson was killed at 2 o'clock in the morning with a laser. With a laser. 4 days later, they find the bloody shirt. All you got to do is Google it. And found out it was $400,000 jewelry and cash missing. That's why they told Bratton to get out of there. And if you follow where he went when he left there, went to Virginia, CIA. And so that's why this is so important.
This is my final question, Mr. Gregory. What's the solutions? Because we know all the problems.
Ain't no solutions. It's too late.
Damn.
When your wife is 9 months pregnant, that universal God gonna drop that baby if it means death to the mother and the child. See, y'all always talking about solutions. You saw the Super Bowl.
Yes, sir.
Okay. You got a nigga outrun God.
Cam Newton.
Were you so busy looking at the bullshit, you didn't notice they had to change cleats 8 times on them players?
Yeah, I remember them mentioning that.
Because they got something in the ground. That's why they kept falling. Did you see when they hit him, he dropped the ball? He didn't reach for it. That's in your blood, man. Like you drop up your baby, you grab it, huh? You didn't. If you go back the year before that.
Marshawn Lynch.
They was on the half-inch line. They couldn't even measure. Mm-hmm. No timeout. There's a brother there will outrun God with the ball. They throw it to a white boy, he drop it. Y'all don't know what you're looking at? It's a $1 trillion industry.
Basically, you just got to wait till God come and pressure wash everything.
No, you can't use God as a pit bull. The time is already set. Mm. And you're so beautiful. Let me tell you something. Every week, you should get naked. No, hear me.
Don't cut them off.
And look into the mirror and thank God for being beautiful, because ugly is a bitch.
Oh, my gosh.
You hear me?
You better give you hear people Mr. Gregory say, your number. Okay.
You have people say, ain't no ugly children. Show me an ugly adult. We can trace that back to the crib. see how it works? And so when you stop and think about something I was going to throw you for, I left here. See, I wasn't around white folks. Rigidly segregated neighborhood. And the old black folks told me all white boys had little bitty peewees, and eventually mine would touch the ground. I just thought I was a late bloomer.
So you never touched the ground?
Did yours?
No.
Well, what you make think mine did? you hear me?
Yes,
you can ask some of the dumbest. If that was true of black back men, it wouldn't be no divorces.
You right?
You know what I'm saying? And thank you all. Thank you all.
Nah, thank you, my brother. Thank you.
Thank you. Now, when I show you this, I might want y'all to salute me.
We been did that, my brother.
No. Oh, no, you didn't do it right.
Oh, God.
It had to be like
yes,
that.
Sir. Yes, sir. Mm.
Now, listen to this. What's the date?
November 7th, 1968.
What paper?
This is the Wall Street Journal.
Wall Street Journal. I ran for President of the United States November the 4th, 5, 6, 7. That's Friday. Wall Street Journal said what?
Election computer goofs gives Gregory 9 million votes.
They shut everything down. That's 9 million votes out of Pennsylvania. So for a few minutes, I was the president. Go ahead, keep on.
Some machines just aren't to be believed. Take the big computer in New York that was designed to compile results of Tuesday's general election. At one point early yesterday morning, the machine was crediting Dick Gregory, the comedian turned presidential candidate, with 9 million votes in Pennsylvania.
And had I won, I'd ask for a recount. You hear me? 200 years, you got these rich, billionaire white folks been running this country. I'm not going to clean it up. You clean it up. So anyway, I just want to thank y'all.
Thank you, Mr. Gregory, for coming, man. Really appreciate you coming, my brother.
It's the Breakfast Club. It's Dick Gregory.